Joining us now on the line is a very good friend of the program, Tim Rosafort, senior writer for Golf World and Golf Digest magazines. You can also see him on Golf Channel and NBC. You've been seeing him a lot this weekend because it's a home game for him as he is a Palm Beach resident. Tim, good morning to you.
Hey, Russ, I like your intro music. Very, very hip this morning. I like that. Is that your standard stuff, yeah?
Oh yeah, we try to
be hip here, Tim.
We try to keep
way to go, Pat. I like
this
it.
Year.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
Try to keep it pop culture this year.
Very good.
Well,
I bet
Tim,
you Calc listens to Calc. Probably that's kind of Calc music. I think you know. Can't you see him in the listening to that flying down to the Lauderdale Airport yesterday to pick up his son coming in?
That's right. He left this. He left here before the final leaders had made their way in. He put up a 65 yesterday, 500 par 65 did Mark Calcavecchia, the low round of the day, along with Charlie Wee. And now he sits only three shots back. Tim, what do you think, your general impressions through three rounds of play here at the Honda?
Well, where have all the big names gone? And I guess they've been gobbled up by this champion golf course that will probably be the story today. And, you know, the more we get, the deeper we go in history or golf history, the more that course is played, the more respect it gets, which is interesting because really going back and covering golf in this county since the early 80s, since the Ryder Cup, you know, it never really got the I don't know, respect that it was due. And now it is, and with a board like Yang and Clouk and Overton and Wee, and you got to get down to Quigley locally to have somebody to root for, and Calc, you know, it really is about the golf course. I mean, Tommy Roy's got microphones down in the water hazards to see what they have to say. So I think that tells you exactly what this test is going to be all about today.
Hey Tim, Russ mentioned Calc and Allenby really are his two guys that he's going to look for today because of their pedigree, the fact that they've won before and have played well at this tournament and at this venue. But you mentioned, you know, all these relative unknown guys at the top. Why do you think that guys with really little experience in winning are playing so well on a tough golf course like PGA National?
Happens a lot. Inexplicable, other than just saying it's golf and these guys, you know, are on their games and it's all coming together for him this week. But I've done a bunch of these over the course of time, and you know, it's always how it shakes out at the end. It's what you remember. You know, you almost forget. I forgot until we did the bit on the Golf Channel yesterday that Calc was leading this tournament last year, going into the bear trap and hit a pretty good shot into that. You know, it went in the back bunker. It was a club long, and then he hit a good bunker shot, and it just rolled through the green. And it looked like he hit a good shot, a proper shot, and it went in a hazard, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ernie wins. So this thing could shake out differently, and if it doesn't, you know, it is what it is. These guys, Yang beat Woods, you know, Clocks won. I mean, I can go down, and we can list the wins that all these guys have in other circuits. So if they can do it there, they can do it here.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, broadcasting live this morning from PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens. Final round of the Honda today commencing in just about 10 minutes, and we're joined on the line by our good friend Tim Rosafort, senior writer for Golf World and Golf Digest magazines. He's a local guy, Palm Beach resident. Also can see him on Golf Channel and NBC, and he's evidently a collective soul fan, commenting on our bump music. But, Tim, what do you know about Y.E. Yang? I think we know a little bit about Jeff Overton and Charlie Wee and Jeff Clouk, but Y.E. Yang, kind of a relative unknown, ranked 460th in the world, 37-year-old South Korean.
Maybe Y.E. Yang's got collective soul on his iPod. I don't know. I might have to ask him today. It's interesting with the Korean players and the language barrier. And it kind of goes back to what Carolyn Bivens was awkwardly trying to do, and that is open up some communication lines. And you know, when a guy doesn't speak English that well, it's hard to tell his life story, and especially through an interpreter, and there's always something lost in translation. So, we know what we see. The whole Korean culture as it relates to men versus women is interesting to me in the sense that you have 47 players on the LPGA Tour right now who are Korean. The last two major champions on that circuit were Korean, and yet you look over in the men's tour, and there's only four Koreans, two really Korean Americans in Charlie Wee and Kevin Na, leaving KJ Choi and this guy Yang. And you know, why is that? And you know, women are girls, or you know, they have a different sort of Well, let's face it, their fathers are known to be, well, I don't want to say tyrant, but domineering, demanding, driving. And, you know, they push the young girls over there harder, part of the culture. And as a result of that, you see this explosion of players on the LPGA Tour. The men, a little different relationship between father and son than it is between father and daughter over there. And there's also this big military commitment that's mandatory over there, 27 months. And in the middle of a very promising time for a lot of these young players, they have to go into military and they never really come out and get golf again. Troy, spending some time with him last year, was allowed to actually play while he was in service, so that helped him. But, you know, if Troy didn't make it in golf, he'd be back on this island of Wando as a farmer, like in a very rural environment. So hard for these guys to break out on the men's tour versus the women's tour, and then hard to get to know them, unfortunately. If Yang's around more and more and we get a chance to get more exposure to him, you know, I could tell you his life story. But I guess this is a long way of saying he's a mystery to everybody to a certain extent, other than that win against Woods, the fact that he had risen to 33rd in the world just a couple years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, that was no fluke. I mean, you know, it shows, just like I'm saying, you know, he could be Tiger Woods' face, man, you know, head up. He could certainly take on this golf course and survive.
Absolutely. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, broadcasting live this morning from PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens. Final round of the Honda today on the Champion Course, joined on the line by Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World and Golf Digest magazines, also contributes to NBC and the Golf Channel. And, Tim, I thought you made a great point. You know, with a lot of lack of pedigree on the leaderboard, a lot of names that we're not that familiar with, save for Cal Kvecchia and Robert Allenby and Brett Quigley, it seems like the Champion Course is really becoming the star here. And that's no surprise, because this is a world-class venue. And I think that players are getting the word. The word's getting out on the PGA Tour that this is an awesome track. And the final three, well, the final four holes, the Bear Trap 15, 16, and 17, and that beast of a par 5, the 18th, one of only 22 par 5s on the PGA Tour 600 yards or longer. And last yesterday during the third round, it did play all of 605 yards from those back tees after being up for days 1 and 2. What are you hearing from players on the tour about this venue, about the holes here, and about Jack Nicklaus's design?
Well, this is no vacation week in Florida for these guys. It's a tough test. The rough isn't even up this year compared to where it was certainly 2 years ago and last year as well, and still 7-unders leading. And you figure there's going to be a little bit of backup today. I don't see Yang shooting 67 to win unless that putter stays hot. So the golf course has been around long enough, as I was saying at the start, that you can relate to it now. You know it on TV. NBC covered the seniors for years. So you saw Floyd go through the Bear Trap and drown. You remember some of the moments throughout on that golf course, going back to 83, which when it was a Fazio course and the Ryder Cup was played, and Seve hit that shot out of the bunker, and Lanny hit the little wedge shot in 18 with a lightning bolt. So this thing has grown like the TPC Sawgrass, like the golf course Clark grew up on, in our minds. And around the country where it's cold and up in the Northeast, you know what PGA looks like, PGA National looks like. So you know the holes that are coming up. You know how much trouble there is in the Bear Trap, and you know somebody can make maybe birdie at 18. So there's a lot there to grasp onto, and that's why the golf course is the star of the show. And, Russ, I'm not your producer, but I do want to just say, hopefully we got about 2 minutes here to talk about Mickey Gallagher, because, you know, I go back with the Gallagher family, and it was really it's somewhat ironic and sad, obviously, that Mickey would die this week, had to have his heart attack in the week of the tournament. It's quite an institution here in Palm Beach County and nationally, too. People knew the Gallagher family around the country, golf family of the year a couple years ago, Kathy working for the PGA and, you know, Mickey working for Trump. And it was nice to go out there a couple weeks ago for the L's news conference. And for some reason, I hadn't seen Mickey in a while, and went back, and there he was in the locker room holding court and talking and just smiling like a big ray of sunshine. So sadness over PGA this week, and I'm sure you talked about it, but I wanted to get my 2 cents in too.
Yeah, absolutely. Our hearts and prayers go out to the Gallagher family as Mickey passed away on Friday night at the age of 78. He was a college teammate of Arnold Palmer's at Wake Forest back in the 50s and had been a stalwart here in South Florida for decades and decades, and Mickey Gallagher Jr. will absolutely be missed.
Yeah, he was He was a pro's pro. It's like Joel Page said in the paper today. You know, he never really thought of golf as work, and that he would have done it for free. And he gave a lot of lessons for free, including a couple to me. You know, join a long group of people that can't fix my golf swing. But
join the club, Tim.
You know, Mickey was just one of those great characters in the game of golf that you meet along the way. And it's sad to see that life is over. But he, you know, he left behind a great family. And his wife, who's she's in the golf, she's working down at you know, Palm Beach Golf Center. It's such a golf family that we'd be remiss if we didn't pay them a tribute and tell them that you know, Mickey will live forever in our memories as just a great guy and a great teacher.
Hey Tim, last question for me before we let you go here. You mentioned PGA and you know the reputation that this course has, the Champ, and it's hosted Ryder Cup and a PGA Championship, and then the old JDM, which was PGA, held PGA Championship in the '70s, early '70s. Because of location scheduling, is there ever a chance you think we'd get another Ryder Cup and or major championship here at PGA?
I think we got a better chance of getting Tiger than we do those two, Pat, to tell you the truth. And that's not, there are no guarantees of that, even if he lives on Jupiter Island, just based on, you know, his way of preparing for the Masters. And if this doesn't fit that, then he probably won't play here. But, you know, majors, I think there are more people out there yesterday following it around for, again, we just talked at the beginning of this pop on how there really isn't any great marquee name out there. I guess other than Kenny G, who was riding around with our boy Kennerly most of the afternoon. But, you know, I mean, it had the look and feel of a major sports event. And covering sports in South Florida for 20, 30 years now, you know, I know what one looks like and what one doesn't look like. And it had that feel, and that was great. I think people were out to see the golf course. Obviously, a lot of them following McIlroy, a big group. You know, and as a result of that, Brett Quigley's local following as well, and Sergio was out there, and it resonated, which was good. So, as it relates to a major, though, I think there are more people out there than were at the PGA in '87 because you got to play in a heat, and you know, maybe a Ryder Cup, but I think they're so, it probably won't come in our lifetime, Pat, to tell you the truth. They're so down the road on venues that I doubt that they would come back here, but. You know, the golf course has proven, and the venue and the facility now that Joel's revamped it, and the whole place has a different feel now. But it's got the tradition and history that really is the sort of the string that ties it all together. So I'm obviously an ambassador for this event and the town here, but it's, you know, I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, this is real, and if you got a couple hours this afternoon, you should go out and enjoy it because it'll be good entertainment, no matter who's hitting the shots.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you. Tim Rosefort, good friend of the program, a local guy, Palm Beach resident, senior writer for Golf World and Golf Digest magazines. You can also see him very periodically on the Golf Channel as well as NBC. He always does a great job with us. Always appreciate the time, Tim. Thank you so much. We'll see you out here later today.
See you guys at midday. Take care.
Thanks.